Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
With the word open before us, let us go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray that you would light our path this evening with your word. Lord, that you would enlighten our hearts, convict us of sin, draw us unto yourself. Lord, that we would, through the work of the Spirit, be a changed people, seeing the hope of heaven, your great mercy, which tears us from this world and our love for the world, that we might grow more fondly in love with you. And we pray you do that this time, this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 16. Please take heed how you hear. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom when he saw them, and he rose to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the earth, and he said, "My lords, please turn aside from your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early in the morning and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all people, to the last man surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance and shut the door after him. And they said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow has come to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with them than with you, than with them." Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck them with blindness, the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, and they wore themselves out, groping for the door. When the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, daughters, or anyone you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we're about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters, "Get up, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. But as the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord been merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Have you ever been on a road trip and noticed as you're driving down the road, you see a sign, "Welcome to the town X." And they make their name and they place their name upon a map and they have a slogan which they're to be recognized by, to understood by. Las Vegas, the city of sin. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. In Adams County, Nebraska, it's called the birthplace of Kool-Aid. In Hershey, Pennsylvania, the sweetest place on earth. St. Louis in Michigan, the middle of the mitten. Old Concord in Pennsylvania. Originally Concord. Gravity in Iowa. We're down to earth. If gravity goes, we all go. Or Glendive, Montana. Good people surrounded by bad lands. Good people surrounded by bad lands. What would the city sign say, "Welcome to Sodom"? What would their slogan be? Maybe it would be "Bad people surrounded by good lands." And as we were told of last chapter in chapter 18, the destruction was coming to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The two angels had come down to inspect the city on the Lord's behalf. And the first thing we see is welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome to my home, Lot says in verses 1 to 3. The two men left in chapter 18, verse 22. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Here we see three men come to Abraham at Genesis 18 when he's sitting there at the oaks of Mamre. And three men come to him. One is the Lord, a theophany, and two, we find out here, are angels. There's three men, two left, leaving the Lord with Abraham. And here in chapter 19, the two men, which we find out are angels, they arrive at Sodom in the evening. At the close of the day, as the day begins to set, the sun begins to go down over the horizon, these two men come. And what do we find here at Sodom? We find Lot sitting at the gate. They go to Sodom, and Lot is there sitting at the gate. Now, we need to be aware that the gate is not merely just a position in which one sits, but a position of honor, respect. It's great high honor to sit at the city gates. It's not the person who chose the shortest straw, but a gate was viewed as the political epicenter of the town. The elders would go sit at the gate. And even we notice this here, that the people in verse 9 explain that the fellow came to sojourn, but now he has become the judge sitting at the gate. And this does not happen overnight. Chapter 13 reveals that when the separation from Lot and Abraham, when Abraham said that you take the right or the left and I'll take the left or the right. And he looks down to the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was like Eden. Like the Nile River that flows through Egypt. And he goes down to this valley where these five cities are, and in Genesis chapter 13, verse 12 explains, Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled amongst the cities of the valley. And he moved his tent as far as Sodom. That here he is dwelling in a tent, not a part of Sodom, but near Sodom, just as Abraham is in the oaks of Mamre in his tent. Sodom too moved towards Sodom. Lot moved towards Sodom. And then, but one chapter later, in verse 12, they took Lot, the son of Abraham's brother, who's dwelling in Sodom. Now he's not merely dwelling in a tent, but he's dwelling within Sodom. He's got the license with his address, current address there, Lot at Sodom Way. But now in chapter 8:19, he's now at the gate. He's moved up. He's no longer in a tent, but a house. He's no longer sitting outside. He's now sitting in a place of prominence. His daughters are engaged to Sodomites. He calls the men of Sodom in verse 7 his friends or brothers. He's home. This is where his home is. And this normal night, as the sun begins to set, these angels approach. Now it echoes what happens to Abraham in chapter 18. He welcomes them into his house. He bakes them bread. He makes them a feast. He offers them a bed. But he's not as generous as Abraham was, but he still shows them hospitality. And after showing them this hospitality, we see that the angels want to just sleep in the town square. Now, they're sent by God to be able to judge this city because of the outcry of the voices. They would know, but Lot presses them strongly. I have this image of a cartoon character sitting there moving his feet and the dust beginning to settle and a small cartoon character trying to push these big cartoon characters, but nothing seems to move. And Lot has made himself at home. He'd call himself maybe a Sodomite. We see that he's similar to Abraham in some levels, but not Abraham. He shows them hospitality. He understands the wickedness of the city, but he is truly happy there. Peter actually calls him righteous Lot in 2 Peter verses 7 to 8. If he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, as it was righteous man who lived among them day by day, he was tormented, his righteous soul, over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. The question before us last week was, how many righteous would the Lord spare a city? And I think the answer is one, that he would remove the one righteous. Looked at last week, the righteous man is not a perfect man, sinless man. We're missing the point. Righteous is saved, elect. But one commentator, Derek Kinder, says that Lot was a righteous man without a pilgrim spirit, a righteous man without a pilgrim spirit. Lot truly saw this as his home. He welcomed them to his home. He didn't want to wait for God's inheritance, but he wanted to have what the world had to offer. Men, as they're getting ready to sleep in this safe house, as Lot thought he might have their safety, the doorbell rings. It was the people of the town coming to greet the visitors. Not quite. In verses 4 to 9, we see the wickedness of the men. And the men come, and the men's request comes before them. The whole town comes to the door. The text explains and expands on everything. The men of the city, the men of Sodom, the young and the old, which is a chiasm inclusive, that A to Z, from the A's in the phone book to the Z's of the phone book, every man. It even explains that all the people to the last man came knocking on the door. This in reality is another Noah time. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight, God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. The Sodom was corrupt in the sight of God, and Sodom was filled with violence. Wickedness was not merely just a portion of Sodom, not just a group of men, but everyone. Mr. Wicked on One Sodom Way, little Gomorrah that just lives down the street, all of them were wicked. Last week, we were told that Abraham was instructed about the destruction that he might instruct his children about the ways of the Lord. And here we see the Sodomites instructing everyone about how to live like a Sodomite. They're teaching the ways of Sodom to their children. It passes down from generation. And here we have a city that is filled with wickedness. And this group of men come to the door and call out to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we might know them." That the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, Genesis 6:5 says. That every intention of their thoughts of his hearts was evil continually. The wickedness of men in their hearts is now flourishing, that they call out, "Let us know these men, yada." This word is used as used of a relationship between a husband and their wife. Intimate marriage, sexual relationship. And these men call out that they want to collectively rape the visitors that have come to dwell with Lot. In the days of Noah, there is great sin which is prevalent in the sons of God marrying the daughters of men. But here in Sodom, it has grown far worse. Again, 2 Peter explains that he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. Or in Jude 7, Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and their surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Whereas Paul writes in Romans explaining God giving them up in their lusts in verse 124, that their heart to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. He continues in verse 26, for this reason God gave them up for dishonorable passions. For women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to their nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. Although the wickedness between Noah and Sodom were similar, Sodom even seemed to be greater than the days of Noah. It becomes the example of depravity, total depravity, throughout the Bible. Las Vegas now claims the city of sin, however, long before Las Vegas claimed that fame, Sodom has this claim, had it on their doorposts. It's the warning given in Deuteronomy 29. This is the warning of destruction that would come when God overthrew them like Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim. When the Lord overthrew them in His wrath and His anger. And Luke even makes a connection, when Jesus makes a connection in Luke 17 between Noah and Sodom. Luke writes in Luke 17, verse 26, just as they were in the days of Noah until the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and being given into marriage until the days of Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. He continues in verse 28, likewise, just as they were in the days of Lot. They were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting and building. But on that day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. This is important. Their sin was not only great sins, but as you remember last time, that their sin was many small sins. Not just sins in the sense of quality, in a negative sense, quality negative sins, but quantity. But here we see the quality, the great sin. Some have tried to explain that the sin of Sodom was not this collective rape or homosexual behavior. However, Lot clearly calls this action wicked in verse 7. I beg you, brothers, he says, do not act so wickedly. Interestingly, Lot doesn't necessarily understand the depths of their wickedness. He calls their wicked request, which does mean evil or wicked, but not a strong word that Abraham uses in chapter 18. In chapter 18, Abraham looking down, he says, far be it for you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Now, Abraham's word here, wicked, is rasa, which means guilty criminal. However, Lot's word for wicked in verse 7, ra, which means more just bad, a displeasing action. But this is not the only reason they're destroyed. This is not the only sin that they're destroyed. Their cry was before this event. The men were there because they heard the outcry of the wickedness. Now, we can often point to sins like this and claim that they're the only forms of wickedness that we see. But as we pointed out in chapter 6, the sins in the days of Noah were eating, drinking, being given into marriage. We need to understand that sin is sin, and there's no sin so small that it does not deserve the damnation of God. There is no sin so small that it does not deserve the damnation of God. We even see the sinful nature in the Sodom's thinking in the daughters of Lot. Just as Abraham is to instruct his children in the ways of the Lord, Lot has instructed his children in the ways of Sodom. But throughout the Bible, we see Sodom as the example, as bad. I've listed some before. But even in Isaiah chapter 1, Jerusalem is compared to Sodom. And this sin, which is in chapter 19, is not mentioned. However, other sins of their wickedness is. So we see the wicked men's request, but then Lot's response. Lot has told them not to act wickedly, and he explains that he has two daughters who have not been known by men, that he might bring them out, that you can do as you please, with the condition that they don't hurt the men who are under his roof. Now, before we look at this, we need to be reminded Lot is called righteous not because he is perfect, not because of his sinless actions. We explain those who are righteous are sinners saved by grace. But we also need to note that just because an Old Testament believer or even a New Testament believer does something, that does not mean we should do it as well. If a child comes to you and explains, well, Lot did it, then does not mean this is the right thing to do. But we also need to understand that our society today in this generation is interested in these questions like this about ethics and morals. And these are important questions to ask. The Bible is not silent in these. They're good questions to ask, but ultimately, when a lot of people ask these questions, they don't have the good foundation to understand the right answer. It's a good question because it's asked, what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong? Good to understand how a society values people or devalues people. But I think we can read this passage and explain that Lot did not treat his daughters with respect that they deserve as image bearers of God. But my hermeneutic allows that to be able to be understood without jumping to wrongful conclusions. Now, there is a different understanding of how you might be able to read this. And that is, as one commentator explains, that Lot is setting things up for a legal problem in which he would be able to take legal action. Basically, he's going down this process to be able to buy time to protect his guests. And we learn in this passage that his daughters are engaged to men in Sodom. And the commentator explains that during this time, he would have to then postpone until the morning, or delay, or explain that they are engaged. They would then need to go before the elders of the town, the city. Then he would then be able to give them to him. It basically buying time, this commentator explains. Although this is possible, I think a clear reading just says that it's he was willing to give his daughters to save his guests, which I think we can all agree would be a wicked thing to do. In Judges chapter 19, a similar event happens, not in Sodom, but not in the city of Man, but in the tribe of Benjamin, in the nation of Israel. And they actually collectively rape a concubine and she dies. And we don't need to defend this wickedness. We don't need to justify it. We can exclaim wicked sinners. who should see and face the wrath of God. But we also can explain that through the providence of God, that even though Lot might make a foolish oath, a foolish suggestion, that it did not come to pass. So finally, the men respond to this. Again, the men of Sodom show their wicked hearts. They exclaim, "Stand back. This fellow came to sojourn and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." And they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. Actually, say that they're going to deal worsely with Lot. I don't explain what that means, but you could only begin to imagine. Lot was pushed his guests into his house, but now the men are pulling Lot into his house. Lot thought he was there to save the angels, to help the angels. However, they do not need help. They're there to help Lot. And the final thing we see this evening is that Lot's weariness to leave. That Lot is weary to leave in verses 10 to 16. As the men reach out their hands and grab Lot and bring him into the house, they shut the door and they strike the man with blindness outside. So they're groping. They've seen enough. They were sent to come and see for themselves the wickedness from the outcry of the people, and they have seen and heard of this wickedness. In the account of Noah, there is no need for the Lord to send angels to be able to be witness to their wickedness. But maybe God not only sends these angels to destroy the city, but also to rescue Lot. And he needs a lot of persuading. The angels ask if there's anyone else here. Now, Lot is only called righteous, just as Noah is only called righteous. But the whole family could be saved. Is there anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, anyone in the city, bring them here out of the place. And they explain why they're there. This is the first time they explain their purpose of their visit. "We're about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has come great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Several times they point out what they're here to do, to destroy it. To destroy it. There's this outcry, and they've come to destroy it. And he goes to his son-in-laws to explain, just as Christian does to his family, but the son-in-law response is similar to Christiana's response and the children in Pilgrim's Progress. They think he's sick in the head. Lot's son-in-laws think he's pulling their leg. Lot tells them of the coming of the destruction, but they do not need to listen. But now the sun has begun to peek over the horizon. We've seen the progression from evening to morning. And morning is here. And the morning has dawned and the angels urged Lot, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away from the punishment of this city." He's been warned, he's been told that they're about to destroy the city. He goes and tells his son-in-laws that their city is about to be destroyed. And finally the men, the angels, say to him, "Up, take up," and the urgencies which they say with these words to leave. "Take your family and go, 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 go." But it's verse 16 where we will stop tonight. Because I think we need to see the foolishness in Lot. We could continue to the end in verse 22, but I think we need to stop and consider this verse and ponder it. Verse 16 starts, "But he lingered." Even after proclaiming and preaching about the city's destruction coming, now he waits. It's like your smoke detector going off in your house, not because you're just cooking something, but there's an actual real fire. And you stop and you think, I'd rather sit here and read a book. I'd rather stay in bed. It's too warm and cozy. I got to watch the end of this TV show first. He lingered. His time in Sodom had become his home. He didn't want to leave. He'd been warned about the destruction that was coming. But he liked his cozy house that Mrs. Lot had made. He liked the school system. He liked the local amenities. He liked his sit at the gate. Derek Kinder said, he's a righteous man without a pilgrim spirit. J.C. Ryle explains, when he was slow, he should have been quick. When he was backwards, he should have been forwards. Trifling when he should have been hasting. Loitering when he should have been hurrying. Cold when he should have been hot. The days of Lot, as Jesus explained, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on that day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. The sun set that night over Sodom like any other day. People tucked in their little Sodomite children. Men and women went to bed with their alarm set ready for the next day. But Lot wanted to be in the world and all of the world. He lingered. He wanted to live and make his home here. He was not merely just passing through. He wanted the treasures of the world. Now compare this to Abraham, who still lives in his tent. No land to call his own. Chapter 14, he passes up the treasures, making this alliance with Sodom. Looks to the king of righteousness, Melchizedek. But here's Lot, lingering. We linger often. We're happy to hold on to the world, to not let go. Happy to keep sin in our lives and rather than let it go. We're happy to play in the mud as pigs. Demas in 2 Timothy, Paul explains, is love with the present world. And Alexander McLaren, speaking about Demas, who is in love with the present world, says, if my hands are laden with pebbles, I cannot clasp the diamonds that are offered to me. Unless you fling out the sandbags, the balloon will cleave to the earth. And unless we turn the world out of our hearts, it is no use to say to him, come, Lord Jesus. There is no room for him. And though he comes through the nearest opening of the door of our soul, he will not come unless we have some extent conquered the world and the love of the world. That Lot here is in his world filled with pebbles in his hands and his pockets, his little treasures, but he's not willing to let them go. He'd rather stay with them and be destroyed with them than to let them go. The hot air balloon that is filled with gas ready to go as the fire blazes underneath, but the sandbag still holding them to the earth, and he lingers. He stays here. However, this is not where Lot is left. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't end in chapter verse 16. The Lord shows him mercy, which is a great understatement. Verse 16 explains, but he lingered, so the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord been merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him aside outside the city. What a great understatement. The Lord been merciful to him. Took him by the hand, tore him out of his city that he loved, he cherished, he made his home. What an understatement that the Lord showed him mercy that day. We'll look at this more next week. But he lingered. And God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's a great warning for us that in this night before the destruction, no one was thinking about what tomorrow would bring. The destruction that was at hand, no one thought about their wickedness and their actions, their need for God and a Savior. That in the days of Lot, there was eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But when they went out and the fire rained down from heaven and destroyed them all, this too will be like the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Are our hands filled with pebbles as we cherish and hold and cling to what the earth has to offer? Have we made our home here? Have we moved from a tent to a mansion on this earth, and we call ourselves citizens of Sodom rather than citizens of heaven? Do we cherish and cling to what the world has to offer, or are we like Demas, who is in love with the present world? And we cannot let them go. We'd rather cling to our pebbles than hold fast to Christ. And Lot is not a perfect man, far from it. He's righteous because he's saved by grace through faith. But he's a righteous man without a pilgrim spirit. We need to have that pilgrim mindset that we long for that moment where Christ would come. That we would turn the world out of our hearts, that we would have a place for Him, that we would desire for Him to be with us and us with Him. Be willing to give up all the world has to offer that we might dwell with Him and dwell with Him forever. But we are glad that even though we hold fast to our pebbles, the Lord is merciful to us. The Lord might often rip us the pebbles out of our hands, that He might be able to hand us the diamonds, the riches of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto You. We give thanks unto You that we have the Bible that gives us the story of the saints who have gone before us. We see Your rich mercy which is shown to them, their foolishness, their sin, and their wickedness. And that gives us hope. That gives us hope not because we look to them as the object of our faith, but we look to their faith in which they look to You, that we too look unto You. We have faith in You, not the saints. Lord, we look and we see their need for Christ, and we see our need for Christ as well. Lord, let us be willing to drop the pebbles of this world that we might cling to You. Let us be willing to drop the sandbags out that we might be able to see our citizenship in heaven. Lord, give us a pilgrim mindset that we might be able to look forward to heaven, to be able to see the great hope which we found in heaven. Lord, we give thanks unto You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.